Good afternoon, Houston, and welcome to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge here on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever. Are you fearful that better health seems out of your reach, regardless of how hard you try or whatever you do? Are you afraid of suffering with heart disease or diabetes or lingering with stroke or cancer? Or do you avoid thinking about these things just because you'll try to make the best of it, whatever happens? Are you limited by joint pains or finding that you can't run from your headaches? Maybe you're hesitant to try something new because you're afraid that what you'll do is wrong, or maybe because you'd better be right or nothing will ever help. Regardless of what might be happening with your health problems, these next few minutes could be the answer to your prayers. Unless, of course, you're convinced that your doctors have done everything possible, or if you've already decided to have surgery but you're just waiting till you worsen further. But if you hold out any hope at all, then you should know that we see desperate people every day. People skeptical about whether anything we can do can make a difference in their lives, and sure enough, many of them are pleasantly surprised. Maybe you could be one of them. After all, the only thing you have to lose is your discomfort, your fear, your worry, maybe even your anger that no one has really listened to you or that no one has been able to help you. We'll be talking about what you can do to get out of your pain and get on with your life. I've practiced for 25 years, never believing that you're suffering from a deficiency of one or more drugs, or that an operation is probably the best answer. Whatever ails you, God built your system to repair itself and to restore more normal function, and that, in a nutshell, is the whole buzz on the topic of alternative or holistic medicine that you've been hearing about these past few years. Drugs and surgery can be helpful, but true natural healing depends on three factors. First, find what's blocking you from feeling better and remove it. Second, find what trace factors you might be missing but you need for repair and provide them. And third, find what switches need to be turned on and turn them on. We'll share practical pointers to help you improve with the most common problems seen in doctors' offices, practical preventive medicine updates to help reduce your risk factors for the most serious diseases that claim our comfort and then our lives, and practical ways to reduce your risks and improve your results with drugs and surgery that you might need. As I've said for years, when life is your choice, failure is not an option. So learn more today on how you can succeed. And if what we offer doesn't apply to you right now, then share this life-saving information with family or friends who do need to know. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 1, verse 9, that there is no new thing under the sun. So let's see what we might learn from those who've walked the path ahead of us. An old German proverb, "Begin to weave, and God will give you the thread." Begin to weave. Start. Make the right start, and the answers will flow forth. An interesting proverb. Anna from the Woodlands emailed to ask me to comment on articles she's read about sticky blood and heart attacks and strokes, so let's turn our attention to this all-too-common problem we'll review this afternoon as turning water into honey and back again. I guess the key thing for you to remember is that blood flow matters. Now, what this simply means is you've got to have good blood flow. In other words, that's what keeps you alive. And we assume, hey, you know, whenever I cut myself, I bleed, the bleeding stops, life must be good, my blood is red, I look okay, I feel all right. But then again, you know, there are unseen influences. And some of those, for instance, you might have heard about C-reactive protein or fibrinogen or homocysteine. Or some of these unusual things that are in addition to cholesterol and triglycerides and blood sugars and blood pressure and stuff like that as significant risk factors in people having heart attacks and strokes. Now, heart attacks kill 50% of the people in a country such as ours. That means that that's half the deaths. And strokes kill about another 15%. So add the two together, that's 2 out of 3 people are going to die from heart attacks and strokes. And that does not count the people suffering with macular degeneration, kidney failure, and other, quote, small problems like gangrene or peripheral neuropathy, nerves that are dying on the vine, literally, and you're feeling that. So what you have to understand is that there is a growing body of scientific evidence that links the likelihood of developing hardening of the arteries diseases or blockage of the arteries where they become scarred and stiff, that's atherosclerosis, to the viscosity of blood. You go, viscosity, what's that? Well, this is a property of blood relating to its thickness and its stickiness. In other words, it's pretty easy when you pour water out of a glass. It pours when you pour honey out. It pours more slowly. When you pour ketchup out, you really have to work to get it started. Those are viscosity-type things. Now, it's much more complicated, but that's a simple illustration. So research shows that people with high blood viscosity, in other words, sticky, thick blood, have a considerably higher risk of suffering from heart disease, stroke, and what we call ischemic vascular conditions. That's where you just don't get enough blood flow, and the part that it's going to begins to die. And that's why blood flow is so important. That's why it matters. Now, an accurate and comprehensive blood viscosity test, or sticky test, one that delivers results in just a few minutes, would give healthcare providers a valuable tool for diagnosing and treating cardiac disease. And guess what? They got one now. The Realog machine is an instrument that measures these properties of whole blood, your blood, in an environment that kind of mimics blood flowing in your actual blood vessel system. And this device is absolutely phenomenal, and it enables clinical doctors like myself and research physicians to obtain a complete and accurate blood viscosity or stickiness profile in real time. Now, you might be one of these people who say, well, I already take a blood thinner, so it doesn't matter. Oh, you don't get it yet. Blood thinners and blood sticky reducers are completely different things, and we actually know a lot about how to do this. Let me show you some of the dangers of oral anticoagulants or blood thinners. My first book on this was in 1971. I go back a ways. And so when we talk about things like warfarin or Coumadin, we're talking about interactions like with aspirin, which increases the risk of bleeding in an anticoagulated patient because it inhibits or blocks the platelet function and causes gastric erosions. That's little scuffing in your stomach. Now, platelets are the tiny pieces in your blood that circulate around that are ready to plug up a hole that might occur when you injure yourself or with surgery, whatever. And when you damage their function, you have to be very cautious. You are inhibiting or blocking a major important pathway. Now, Coumadin or warfarin also is inhibited by cholestyramine or Questran, cholestid, carafate, a frequently prescribed medication for gut disturbances. What about the fact that warfarin or Coumadin, this blood thinner, is altered by barbiturates, carbamazepine, that's Tegretol. I'm going to give you all the brand names. It's easier. Dynapen and Sustiva and Grisectin and Unipen and Viramune and Trileptal and Dilantin and Mycelene and Mycobutin and Rifadin and even St. John's wort, the herb, can influence Coumadin. It's also and affected by alcohol and anturane, which is a special drug sometimes used for people with alcohol problems. And then the HMG-CoA reductase inhibitors, I like saying that. What that means is the statin drugs like Lescol and Mevacor and Zocor and Lipitor and such like that also alter the effects of the Coumadin. And don't forget Diflucan and Monistat. These are antifungal medications. There's the ones that we give for prescribing to people who have gut acid disturbances. So we give them Tagamet. And that interferes with Coumadin. Don't forget antibiotics like chloramycetin and Bactrim or Sceptra, the sulfa drug, Flagyl, Eurobiotic. And then there's miscellaneous enzyme inhibitors that are like cortisone, which is used for heart rhythm disturbances, androgens like testosterone, and then Atramid S and Danocrine and Antabuse and Tricor and Luvox and Lopid and Isoniazid or INH, Rhythmol, Nolvadex, Acolate, the list goes on. And don't forget the anti-inflammatory drugs which interfere with Coumadin, Voltaren, Dolabid, Lodine, Nalfon, Ansaid, Motrin, Indocin, Arutis, Toradol, Meclamin, Ponstel, Mobic, Relafin, Aleve, Dapro, Feldene, Clinoril, Tolectin, and then even thyroid medications like Synthroid, Cytomel, Thyrolar, and just plain thyroid USP. Those drugs are commonly prescribed. This is the drug that reacts with more things, this Coumadin, than any other drug in my little top 100 drug interactions book. I wanted to share this with you because the way that we approach handling sticky blood is wrong. We're not handling sticky, we're just thinning the blood flow, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The time is about 10 past the hour, and you're listening to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. Your extended health forecast is brought to you now by Life Celebrating Health in Humble near Bush Intercontinental Airport. Our crystal ball shows clear to partly cloudy with the winds of change blowing. Are you acting more like an ostrich, burying your head in the sand because you don't feel able to deal with your health problems? Then your tail feathers will be getting wet when partly cloudy skies change to rain. Perhaps you're clucking around, kind of happy that a new medication has you feeling better, but not realizing that those fancy patches and band-aids might not be the best for you. If you're not changing anything and simply hoping for the best because you've been feeling pretty good, or maybe you're afraid or unsure, then cloudy to very stormy skies are on your horizon. Or just maybe you're ready to make changes to regain and maintain better health, then sunny skies are coming your way. At Life Celebrating Health, you can depend on us as partners in your health care, and we'll design personalized programs to help keep your days sunny. And we'll show you how to spend less and get more. Call for your free telephone consultation with one of our treatment assistants. No fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-FIX-PAIN. 1-800-FIX-PAIN. Ask to receive our free e-newsletter. Just share with us your email address or send your questions to us through our internet website, www.healthchoicesnow.com. Because unlike the weather, you do have choices for better health. This afternoon, we're sharing some time with Dr. Richard Wilkinson of the Yakima Allergy and Longevity Clinic. I love this, in Yakima, Washington. Dr. Wilkinson is an expert who has been looking at longevity-associated, in other words, changes that you can accomplish by looking at blood stickiness, this increased viscosity or thickness that we've been talking about, and agreed to share with us some patient stories. Dr. Wilkinson, thank you for joining us on the show.
Well, you're welcome. It's nice to be here.
Yes, it is nice to be here, because you and I are on the cutting edge of something very exciting, aren't we?
This is absolutely, I think, groundbreaking. It's something that gives the doctor tools to help patients that has not been available in the past.
I mean, not at all, huh?
Not at all. Let me give you an example. I have a patient whose name is Lisa, came in, and she was asking me about what she could do because she was worried that she might have a heart attack at an early age. Her mother died at 45 of a heart attack. She is 41. And so we did a regular workup, and we looked at a number of things. Her cholesterol, triglycerides are normal. Her homocysteine level is well below the high end of the normal range. Her C-reactive protein is in the low range. So, you know, you just look at her and you say, well, you know, things look pretty good. But she was still concerned, and by that time we had gotten Dr. Kinsey's Reolog, and we did a blood viscosity test on her, and what was very interesting is that the results we got on that test put her into a high risk. There are several things that this piece of equipment will measure. One of them is the actual viscosity. In other words, is the blood more like ketchup or is it more like wine? And you can imagine if you're pushing some ketchup through a sensitive, tender tube versus putting some wine through that tube, it's going to be a lot more abrasive, a lot more damaging if the blood is really thick like ketchup. And so what we can do for one of the tests is we can measure how viscous her blood is. And her blood was well above the upper end of the normal range.
She was sticky.
It was sticky. Now, another thing that it tells us is your red blood cells, they can be either soft like a Smurf ball, or it can be hard like a BB. And so as I talk to patients, I say, we want to know whether your red blood cells are really soft like a Smurf ball, because if they hit the wall of the artery, there's not going to be much damage. If they're hard like a BB, then it's going to inflict a whole lot more damage. And as we measured that on her, it actually was about mid-range. But one of the things that happens with red blood cells is they stick together. Sometimes docs call it rouleau formation or just sticky red blood cells. And we can measure that as well. And so hers was well above the normal range. The fourth test that this little machine does for patients is it tells us how likely are they actually to have a clot. Because a clot is the thing which causes a stroke, it causes a heart attack in most cases. And so, again, she was way above, by a fair degree, the upper end of the normal range. And this is something where we'd like to have it at the bottom end or even below the bottom end. And so we talked to her about that. We got her started on a program where we put her on things like fish oil, put her on some oral EDTA, which helps to thin the blood as well as helps to pull out some heavy metals. We put her on actually a combination approach, including natokinase, which is an enzyme that comes from a food that the Japanese use. And so it has a thousand-year history of safety. And this combination, after a month, had brought her viscosity level down somewhat, her thrombogenic potential, or how likely she is to develop a clot, was now well below the upper end of normal. Her aggregation, or how sticky the red blood cells are, was almost down to the bottom end of the normal range. And the erythrocyte deformability, or whether the red blood cells were like Smurf balls or BBs, where before it was in the mid-range, now it was actually below the low end of normal. Now, we're going to continue working on it, and we'd like to get all of these numbers even lower, but it's an example of a person who has a high risk because of family history. Nothing else showed up, and yet with this, we were able to demonstrate a problem, we were able to do something, and she's a happy lady.
Now, this is just like the person who jogs all the time, is skinny and low cholesterol, and who drops dead from a heart attack.
Exactly. Just like the guy who started the protein or power bar, where he died here a couple of months ago while he was out jogging. And he was in great shape. He just sold his company for $300 million, and he's in his early 50s, and he died of a heart attack after being a vigorous athlete.
And you see cases like this all the time, don't you?
Yeah. I do. I have another patient here I thought might be a little interesting. This is a guy who is a pastor of a church nearby. He was put on one of the statin drugs by another physician because his cholesterol was a bit high. And what happened is his muscles began to break down so fast that they put him into kidney failure. So he was in the hospital, and they did some dialysis on him, and he was not doing particularly well.
These aren't totally safe drugs, are they?
Not totally.
No.
And then, one of the things that is interesting, I think Dr. Kinsey will mention this as well, the problem with cholesterol in the context of heart disease is that it makes the blood too thick. And so the problem is not that cholesterol is there per se in the blood, it's that it makes the blood thick. So if you can do something else to make the blood thinner so that it flows nicely, then you've really taken care of what that risk factor is.
Exactly.
So anyway, he had been in the hospital. He was in really bad shape. We did his viscosity test, and Dr. Kinsey would describe the viscosity as being like concrete going through his veins. But he also had on one of the other tests I mentioned, which is called thrombogenic potential, which means how likely is he to clot. It's the highest that Dr. Kinsey has ever seen.
Wow.
At least I believe it's up at the top. It's way high. And so now, this is a little different case, because this gentleman, I said, well, you know, this is what we should do, and this is what we should do. And pretty soon he says, well, you know, this is a pain. I don't like taking this stuff. I don't want to take these pills. And so I said, well, you know, it's always your choice. You can decide to do what you want to do. I think it would really be smart, because you really, really need to get these numbers down. He chose not to, and it wasn't long before he was in the intensive care unit again, this time with pancreatitis, because the blood going to his pancreas is getting so thick that it's not able to function. And anyway, it's not as nice of a story as what the first patient was, because he hasn't chosen to continue. Now, the third patient that I have the chart in front of me regarding is a woman whose husband is a doctor down in Oregon. And she came in, and she really had not too many complaints. She just doesn't feel as well as she would like. She's 51 years of age. We did the viscosity test on her, and her viscosity, if we were to give a number, because this is confusing if you can't see it, but let's just give a number. An ideal number for a woman might be somewhere between 15 and 20. Her viscosity was 80.
Whoa.
This is something which Dr. Kinsey again says is about as high a viscosity as he's ever seen, because I talked with him about this one in particular. Now, the likelihood that she would develop a clot was 43, where the high end, which you want to be lower than, is 13. And
she is a ticking time bomb, isn't she?
Everything was dramatically raised. It was dramatically high. And so, you know, as soon as I saw this, I said, oh, my dear, you need to get on a program. And so we got her immediately on a program that included a pretty vigorous protocol of things that we know that are, these are all naturally occurring materials, including the good oils, including EDTA, including natokinase, including Wobenzym. Wobenzym is an enzyme which comes from Germany. It's great for anti-inflammatory effects. It helps to prevent heart attacks. It helps to prevent strokes. The company that puts it out has done over $50 million worth of research on it. It's been proven to decrease risk of cancer, decrease risk of heart attacks and strokes. And so you can take something that helps with pain, helps with all sorts of things, and you don't have the downside. You have really an upside. I mean, the side effects for it are positive instead of negative. So this lady has really gone to work. Her husband has done some other treatment with her. And I told her to please come back in as soon as she could, which is less than a month after the first one. And now her viscosity is down to the upper range of normal for women. We still want to get down that down lower, but still, it's so much better. It was 80. It's now down to 22. Her thrombogenic potential, or the likelihood of creating a clot that would cause a heart attack or stroke, was 43, which is dramatically high. It's now down to the upper end of normal at about 14. And so we have a tool now that gives us a way to be able to evaluate whether a person is high risk or not, and then we can do something, and relatively inexpensively, we can then recheck and see, are we doing the right thing for you? Is it improving? Are these natural substances really effective, or are they not? And I, so far, have seen very good information showing that these numbers are dramatically reduced by using good natural substances.
That is fantastic. Those are wonderful experiences. Dr. Wilkinson, thank you for sharing those patient stories. I wanted someone who had some real upfront clinical experience, and you've had great success.
Well, you're certainly welcome. It's something, if anybody has a chance of getting it done, I would certainly highly recommend it. It's a great approach to looking at one's risk.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. From Yakima, Washington, Dr. Richard Wilkinson.
Good. Thank you.
God bless you. It's now about 24 past the hour here on Star 790 KBME with the best medical updates ever. Let's pause briefly for this public service announcement. When children breathe in cigarette smoke, they're breathing poisons that can cause asthma, ear infections, even cancer later in life. Don't expose children to cigarette smoke. Give them a chance to breathe free. This message is brought to you for a smoke-free America. This is the first day of the sign of Gemini, the twins, for whatever that's worth, and it's also Older Americans Month. And for our blast from the past, here's the Burma Shave. No matter the price, no matter how new, the best safety device in your car is you. Burma Shave. I love those, don't you? I grew up on those red signs down the highway. And indeed, the best safety device in your healthcare is you. So I am absolutely thrilled this afternoon to have joining us Dr. Kenneth R. Kinsey, internationally recognized cardiologist, inventor, researcher, guest lecturer, and author. He really develops high technology products that are designed to reduce the risk of developing atherosclerosis and other diseases. He's been a featured guest speaker at Harvard Medical School, the American College of Cardiology, Stanford University Mayo Clinic, Emory University, UCLA, and the list goes on. He's a keynote speaker all over Europe, including Moscow, Russia, and even mainland China. Now, this is not somebody who just does, you know, kind of alternatives in medicine. He developed the Kinsey catheter, which is used in angioplasty for use in total coronary occlusions, in other words, total blockages. He invented and developed the first in vivo viscometer that quickly, reliably, and accurately measures whole blood viscosity at the bedside for use in diagnosis and treatment of atherosclerosis and many other diseases. And now we're talking with him about this incredible device, the Reolog instrument. He's the author of two books on the protective adaptation theory as the way in which atherosclerosis gets started. One is for the lay public. Another one coming up is for the scientific community. And this guy, this fellow, Dr. Kinsey, has over 150 patent filings with more than 50 patents issued. So he thinks about these things in wonderful ways. His publications are too long to list. A graduate of Ohio State University Medical School in Columbus, 1 year actually before I graduated from medical school. Look what he has done with his life. We're joined this afternoon by Dr. Kenneth Kinsey. Hello there.
Hi, John. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful, and it's a pleasure to have you this afternoon because, you know, I have the greatest of respect for what you have developed. This sticky blood test is awesome.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be on your show.
You know, when we look at sticky blood, we're really talking about the last few seconds of human life, aren't we?
Well, in essence, yes. And it's a very basic physiologic parameter, just like blood pressure.
Exactly, just like blood pressure. If you don't have blood flow because you don't have the pressure, it's just as devastating as if you have it blocked. And that's what happens with sticky blood. Now, what was going through your mind when you thought about putting this instrument together that really shows us what's happening inside? It's immediately outside, but it shows us what's going on.
Well, what I was concerned about 15 years ago was finding out what the initiating cause of atherosclerosis was. That is, what really causes heart attacks and strokes. And what I was concerned about was the obvious thing is why atherosclerosis doesn't occur throughout the body. It's not a systemic disease. It occurs at very site-specific areas. And you can't explain that biochemically, because if it was a biochemical disease, you'd have it everywhere. You'd have it in your arms and your veins.
All over.
Yeah, you'd have it all over. And you don't. And so I thought, well, it's probably a mechanical disease. And to explain it mechanically, you have to look at the arterial system like a mechanical system. And so you have to look at the heart as a mechanical pump. And what makes up the work of the heart is simply three things: blood pressure, how fast the heart contracts, and the third thing is how thick your blood is. And so I had to learn how to measure how thick your blood is in order to determine what really causes heart attacks and strokes.
You know, when you look at it, it sounds so simple, but it's pretty complicated, isn't it?
Well, to measure the thickness of blood is very complicated, but actually it's just very much, you know, the concept is very simple. It's very simple, like, why do you change the oil in your car every 3,000 miles? Because you don't want to wear away the sides of your engine. And that's why we want to look at why your blood is thick or thin, because if it's thick, you're going to be wearing away the sides of your arteries. And that's what causes what we call plaques are really calluses, just like the calluses you get in your hands. It's a response to abrasion from blood flow. If you have very thick abrasive blood flow, you're going to get calluses forming or plaques.
So if people do preventive medicine on their cars, they ought to be doing it on themselves too.
Exactly. And And one of the things I really promote is blood donation. Women, for instance, who menstruate on a regular basis, in a Framingham study, they studied 2,800 women for 24 years, they had zero heart attacks. And men who donate blood on a regular basis, they've done tens of thousands of studies on men, have 90% less heart attacks if they donate blood on a regular basis.
Phenomenal information.
Yeah.
Dr. Kinsey, we're going to be right back with you. It's now about 30 minutes past the hour here on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. Sometimes, especially when our attention is focused on health problems, we forget that laughter is the best medicine. So how about this little note from Mount Sinai Hospital? A woman called in saying, "Hello, I want to know if a patient is getting better." The voice on the other end of the line said, "What's the patient's name and room number?" She said, "Yes, darling, she's Sarah Finkel in room 302. He said, "Oh, yes, Mrs. Finkel is doing very well. In fact, she's had two full meals. Her blood pressure is fine. She's going to be taken off the heart monitor in a couple of hours, and if she continues this improvement, Dr. Cohen is going to send her home Tuesday." The woman said, "Thank God, that's wonderful. Oh, that's fantastic. That's wonderful news." The man on the phone said, "From your enthusiasm, I take it you must be a close family member or a very close friend." She said, "I'm Sarah Finkel in 302. Cohen, my doctor, doesn't tell me a word." Oh. And Charles Lindbergh, the state, flew across the Atlantic 1927, made the world so much smaller for all of us. What a wonderful feat. And tomorrow is the start of Safe Boating Week, the 22nd through the 28th, so be careful to enjoy smooth sailing, whether your boat is on water or on wheels. So let's get straight to the question. What are you waiting for? Sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Angry at not feeling better or threatened with pain or limitations? Fearful about the future? Can you trust that you'll find the answers, the ones you need right now? You'd better take this responsibility seriously. You've got to find the answer somehow, and you'd better be right, because your survival might be in the balance. So listen to what I have to offer. Over the past 24 years, I've developed and improved integrative treatment programs to help many people suffering with a great variety of frustrating illnesses, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, heart disease, even after surgery, and especially congestive heart failure, shortness of breath, restless sleep or insomnia, poor circulation and leg pains, hypoglycemia and diabetes, poor memory, even Alzheimer's and other dementias, migraines and other headaches, rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, ulcerative colitis and other gut problems, frustrating skin conditions or disabling neck and back pains, sports injuries and arthritis, prostatitis, chronic urinary infections, chronic sinus and lung infections, hormones and thyroid and sexual performance, PMS, menopause, even manopause, and the list goes on and on and on, because health deals with basic body processes, not just squashing particular symptoms. You could feel better than you ever expected. I've lectured on these topics for over 20 years. I've written books and medical papers to share how to make healing happen. The leading authors and newsletter editors in preventive medicine have been personal friends of mine for years. In my 25 years of practice, I found that very few people know that simple, effective, and cost-conscious solutions, such as we're talking about today, are available to help with their problems, starting now. And few people realize that several of the problems for which they're seeing different specialists are often related to the same basic cause. So correcting what's causing one problem might improve several other problems that frustrate, worry, or even anger you. Make your healthcare investment pay even bigger dividends in your future. Get details on our exclusive and unique cashable voucher program that can return to you cash dollars for your future expenses. We're here to save your health and save your wallet as well. And that's what this show is all about, and that's what we're all about at Life Celebrating Health and Humble. Call for a free consultation with one of our treatment assistants. No fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-FIX-PAIN. You're listening to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge. Invite your family and friends to tune in and join us here on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever, Friday afternoons from 1 till 2. And this afternoon, we're joined by Dr. Kenneth Kinsey, a world expert and internationally renowned, especially for the development of this new instrument, the Realog, that tells us about sticky blood, which is how we finally get the final sickness and death. And Dr. Kinsey, you tell me that you have a young lady there, Ruth Work, one of your patients, who can discuss how this might have helped her.
Yes, I do.
Could you please put Ruth on the line for us?
Hello, this is Ruth.
Hi there. We're so happy to have you join us this afternoon. We're going to talk about how the Realog, the sticky blood measurement, has helped you in your life.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I just wanted to let you know how this helped me is, actually, I am a smoker.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
And I was very concerned about my health and my heart. And I met Dr. Kenzie through a mutual friend of ours. And he went ahead and tested my viscosity for me. And it showed that my viscosity was on the higher end of the low range.
Now, who'd have ever figured that?
Dr. Kenzie said that that was because I was still a menstruating woman, and it was still in the low range but slightly higher because of my smoking.
Right.
And then he asked me to participate in a smoking study.
Yes.
My viscosity was tested before the study and after the study, and I smoked 3 cigarettes in a 10-minute period.
Ugh.
And, yeah, it was horrible.
I'm glad you got that message.
The results show that my viscosity drastically increased. So needless to say, I was very concerned, and since then I've tried many different ways of trying to quit smoking. And I haven't quit yet, but I've drastically cut back.
Good.
And I am involved in many therapies right now for quitting.
I'll give you the simplest one. This is my secret trick.
I'm ready.
Don't light them.
That's a good one.
Hold them all you want. Just don't light them. So you really saw the dramatic change that the smoking made for your stickiness, right?
Absolutely did, yes.
Wow. That's a lesson that I hope all of our listeners get. I appreciate, Ms. Work, that you shared that with us today.
Well, thank you.
And if you'll share Dr. Kenzie back with us.
I'm right here.
Oh, wow. What a story.
It was an amazing story because, you know, we always thought that nicotine caused the vasoconstriction of the artery.
Right.
And it may do that as well, but we never knew that it caused such dramatic increase in viscosity.
Well, we didn't have a test to see it.
Exactly. And it does dramatically increase viscosity. As a matter of fact, all the major risk factors for heart disease, obesity, high cholesterol, age, gender, male gender, diabetes, they all have one thing in common. They all have elevated whole blood viscosity.
Now, when you talk about that, what you're saying is that as we grow older and all these risk factors start coming into play, each one is making us a bit more sticky.
And each one makes our blood thicker. That's correct.
Now, as we add them all together, then those are the, quote, high-risk patients.
That's correct.
But for any one individual, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've just gotten my instrument and started playing with this, but isn't it true that there are some people who are more uniquely sensitive, such as Ruth is with the cigarette smoking, that there might be people who have smoked all their lives, that doesn't bother them as much, but there are those who, with the cholesterol or with the smoking or with these other risk factors, is going to dramatically worsen their risk factors.
Oh, yeah, it could be a combination and absolutely increase their viscosity dramatically. It's an additive effect.
Exactly. And you can't predict that, can you, other than just the common sense part?
You really can't predict it. In fact, it's amazing. People's blood viscosity is much like their fingerprint. Everybody's is very unique to themselves.
You know, my first book was on coagulation studies training manual back in 1971 when they were just figuring out all the interactions and the what we call the coagulation cascade or how you make a blood clot. And when I saw the data that Dr. Holdsworth first presented on this nattokinase enzyme that Dr. Wilkinson was discussing earlier, immediately I knew you had the machine I was looking for. This instrument is phenomenal.
Thank you. I think it's really going to have the potential of making a major shift in the paradigm of understanding physiology and pathophysiology in general.
Oh, I would agree, and I think it has as much significance as being able to do a blood sugar test.
Yes. Because
if you don't know that your sugar's up, you know, and you don't know that your viscosity is up.
Right. Well, I liken it to, you know, before we invented the sphygmomanometer back in 1920,
right,
we didn't know what blood pressure meant.
Exactly.
Now we can measure blood pressure. Obviously, we can now control blood pressure, and it's made a dramatic impact on heart attack and stroke. And I think now that we can measure blood viscosity at the bedside, we can now develop methods to lower whole blood viscosity. I mean, right now the crudest way is donating blood. That's obviously very crude, but it works dramatically.
Right.
In the future, I think we'll have more benign ways of doing it. I believe natokinase is one way that probably is going to do it, but there's going to be a lot of other ways as well.
A bunch of strategies, that's right. Ken, we'll be right back with you. It's now about 40 past the hour here on Stars 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. We sometimes forget that spiritual centering is an important part of healing, getting better and staying healthier. So today's verse is from Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. And you know, this actually has more significance than just being from the Bible, because indeed we find that anxiety provokes a number of stress chemicals, and each one of those inside is what helps to raise the viscosity or thickness of our blood. We're back with Dr. Ken Kesey. Kesey, I don't know where that came from. With Dr. Ken Kesey, who developed this instrument for measuring sticky blood. And you were talking about blood pressure and the invention of the sphygmomanometer, the blood pressure cuff. And we've always called blood pressure the silent killer. But indeed, blood viscosity may be the most important silent killer.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that, because blood viscosity determines how much oxygen and nutrient every cell in the body gets, and that's sort of intuitive. You know, if you're pumping ketchup, you're not going to get too much of ketchup to each cell of the body. But if you're pumping wine, it's going to get there much easier and distribute oxygen and nutrients much easier. So, you know, our goal is to get the blood down to wine, and so your heart doesn't have to work so hard.
Exactly. And indeed, blood pressure is often lower in people with a lower viscosity, correct?
There's no doubt. Blood viscosity and blood pressure are in parallel. If you lower a patient's blood viscosity, and this is proven in the literature, you will lower their blood pressure as well.
And Dr. Wilkinson was talking about using things like the good oils, the fish oils, and things like that to help lower the viscosity. And that indeed has always been associated with an improvement in blood pressure as well.
That may be a big part of it. We haven't determined that, but one thing we do know, HDL, the good cholesterol, does in fact lower viscosity. It acts like a lubricant. It's sort of like 3-in-1 oil in the body. It makes your blood flow easier. But LDL, the bad cholesterol, increases viscosity. You know, it's sort of like pig fat in your blood, you know. It just makes it thicker.
And these kind of realizations were unavailable before we had the instrument, correct?
Well, actually, they've been measuring viscosity for 50 years in Europe and over the world, but all they had was they could measure one point in this whole curve of viscosity, and that's sort of like measuring blood pressure and only getting one measurement. Like, you know, if I told you your blood pressure was 80, that wouldn't tell you much.
Right.
That's all they had before they had the instrument that we developed, because the viscosity of blood varies according to how fast blood is moving. When blood moves very slow, like ketchup, it's very, very thick. But as it moves very fast, it gets very, very thin. So during diastole, when the blood is not moving, it's very thick and it's very thin during systole. So with each heartbeat, your blood goes thick, thin, thick, thin, thick, thin. And not very many doctors understand that, because rheology, the study of blood flow, is not taught in medical schools.
Exactly. Now, when you talk about thick and thin like that, one of those episodes of thick can catch you, can't it?
That's correct.
And it only takes those few seconds to start forming that clot.
That's right. That's called the thrombogenic potential. And we could actually derive that with this device. We can measure the potential of your blood to clot during diastole. So we can, in essence, we believe in the future, be able to determine your potential for your blood to clot right at the bedside, or in the emergency room, for instance.
You know, I was so excited when I saw those other calculated measures like the thrombogenic potential and the red blood cell deformability, as, you know, how easily do they squish through the tiny parts of the blood vessels, because those are the ones that tell us who's getting in trouble.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right. If we, you know, we have found some young ladies, for instance, will come in that are menstruating, and their viscosity will be very low, but the thrombogenic potential will be sky high, and I'll simply ask them, are you on birth control pills? And 99% of the time they'll say yes, and I'll say, my God, you got to get off of those birth control pills, because you're at high risk for a stroke. And so this device can potentially screen those young ladies who are at high risk for stroke on birth control pills.
And, you know, I've had half a dozen or more of those in my practice and like that get strokes. Because
absolutely.
And the ability to predict who's the likely one, that really makes a difference.
Makes a big difference, yes. And it's very scary, particularly if they're smoking and on birth control pills. You know, the risk is much, much higher.
Oh, dramatically.
Being able to screen those patients that are high risk for a stroke that are on birth control pills is really, really worthwhile and very exciting to be able to pick those young ladies that are at high risk and getting them off that birth control pill and putting on something else.
And getting them off that smoking.
Yes.
We'll be right back with Dr. Ken Kensey. It's now about 45 past the hour here on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. For your better health, let's pause briefly for this announcement from the Arthritis Trust of America. Professor Roger Wyburn Mason, MD, PhD, and author of several important medical textbooks, a renowned specialist in nerve diseases, honored by having two nerve diseases named after him during his lifetime, along with Vice Admiral Stamm, a world-class protozoologist or parasite doctor, came to the conclusion from their experimental work over 35 years ago that a common Limax amoeba, or parasite, was responsible for about 100 differently named collagen tissue diseases, including rheumatoid arthritis, scleroderma, psoriasis, and other named diseases. All of these we now call rheumatoid diseases. And Wyburn, Mason, and Stamm were probably wrong when identifying the particular amoeba, for reasons our later research has uncovered, but the treatment protocol developed by their hypothesis that an organism infecting all systems in the body for a person who has a genetic susceptibility for that organism causes collagen tissue diseases. And they serendipitously determined the very first medical treatment regimen to consistently and favorably affect the progress of rheumatoid diseases. We'll be hearing more about this on a future program, but the Arthritis Trust of America is always willing to have your donations, and certainly one of the things they'll give you is a lot of information on their website. It's www.arthritistrust.org, arthritistrust.org. Incidentally, if you wish to obtain a refund of any donation you make, simply let them know. They're more than happy. And I have to tell you again, this is not an unbiased comment. I'm on their medical advisory board and have been so for years. And let's talk about wonderful things. On the 20th, singer-performer Cher, born 1946, entertainer George Gobel, born 1919, actor Jimmy Stewart, 1908. On the 21st, actor Mr. T, 1952. 22nd, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the famous author. Of course, it's Elementary, my dear Watson. And on the 23rd, singer Rosemary Clooney. And we're joined this afternoon by Dr. Kenneth Kensey, talking about sticky blood and how blood viscosity or thickness can affect your life. And, you know, I tell people, Ken, that it takes dozens of years for the artery to get narrowed and blocked. And as you said, it only happens in specific sites. But it takes only seconds to go the rest of the way.
That's correct. That's correct. The thing that I've been focusing on, though, is the initiating thing that starts the whole process. And I think, you know, we look back and we think it's mechanical. Now, once the little callus, as I mentioned before, starts, not too long after that, then it becomes a biochemical process where all the cholesterol and your genes and the environment and all that begin to take a part of the whole process. But clearly it's a mechanical process that is the initiating factor.
So what you're saying is once the fire starts, everything else starts to burn as well.
You got that right. Yeah, I believe that all becomes a part of the whole process later on. But one thing that's very important to note, that probably if you never have high blood pressure, if your arteries never have a chance to get hardened, or you never develop what we call arterial sclerosis, you probably will not develop atherosclerosis, that is, the occluding part of the arteries. Because unless your arteries become hardened and they lose their compliance, you really never develop the turbulent flow that causes the arteries to wear away on the inside.
The mechanical stress.
Exactly right, mechanical stress. So if you're able to keep your blood pressure down your whole life, you'll probably never develop atherosclerosis. As a matter of fact, in the Framingham study, again, they had a whole group of patients that had very, very low, unusually low blood pressure, and none of those patients ever developed heart attack or stroke.
Wow. Now, the Framingham study was what, 20-some thousand people that Harvard was looking at for years and years?
Well, and it's still going on.
Still going on.
Yes, it's an ongoing study. But what was interesting, they could not explain why the patients with the low blood pressure never had a heart attack or stroke.
I think you might have the answer.
I think I do, yeah.
How exciting is this to be going around the world telling people about this wonderful creation, this Realog instrument?
Right now it's a little overwhelming because, frankly, we can't begin to make it fast enough. We're backlogged, to say the least, on making it, and we have to find ways to make it fast enough and cheap enough so that it's a very a device that everybody can afford. And my goal is to, you know, number one, stop heart attack and stroke, but do it very cost-effectively so we can stop, you know, basically bypass and surgery and angioplasty. I think will soon become a thing of the past.
And, of course, you're one who has developed angioplasty instrumentation.
Well, I used to be into that big time, trying to find ways to clean out the arteries and ways of helping those procedures. But now that I understand rheology and understand the etiology of the disease much better, I think there are far simpler and cheaper ways of treating the disease without cutting people open and trying to mechanically do it, without a doubt.
In other words, stop it before it really starts.
Absolutely. Prevention is the way to go.
Well, you know, we've always talked about prevention, but it's always been kind of, you know, grandmotherly advice. You were really on the cutting edge of saying we can personalize this medical care for people.
I mean, we do it with cancer. I mean, we don't wait till cancer's all over your body before we start treating it. I mean, we wait till you have chest pain, and then we go in to do bypass surgery or angioplasty. I mean, that's the end stage of the disease. We must look at this disease in the early teens and watch and see when the kids start having their blood pressure rising or their viscosity's rising. That's when you begin treating the disease, not at the end at 55 or 60 years old.
That's excellent. If you were to give kind of your thumbnail sketch, what would you want listeners, as you know, to take away from this? What do they really need to remember?
They need to remember, number one, make sure your blood pressure stays down. Treat your blood pressure. Number two, drink plenty of fluids. And number three, it's a simple, cost-effective way, donate blood as regularly as possible.
And that would solve a lot of society's problems in terms of having blood available for accidents and for people who do need surgery.
I bet, right? And if you go to the Red Cross and tell them you're donating for yourself, they won't take it from you. So you have to be humanitarian and say, I'm going to give it to you, mankind, and they will take it in most cases.
And at that time, what you've really done is made a major step forward, not just for yourself, but for other people as well in serious need. And when we're talking about helping yourself, this really is a dramatic improvement, isn't it? This does make a change in your own blood viscosity.
No doubt. I mean, it drops so dramatically. I donated, and by the way, the side effects of blood donation are next to nil. The only side effect the Red Cross says is that some people faint when they see the needle.
Well, the other side effect is you have to drink orange juice and eat cookies.
Right. side effect. And I think your own personal doc can learn how to draw blood from you as well if the Red Cross won't take it.
Right.
So that's another way to go. But donating blood has a dramatic effect in lowering viscosity, without a doubt.
That's excellent. Dr. Kenneth Kensey, a marvelous cardiologist, inventor, researcher, thank you for joining us this afternoon and sharing about the Realog instrument. We're going to give in our concluding remarks a brief bit about your Blood Thinner Cure book, so I just wanted to let you know that. And we really appreciate your taking the time. I know you're traveling, and you carved that time out for us. Thank you so very much.
Pleasure, and thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
So what is the take-home message from today's featured guest? Well, it's pretty simple. The rule of the artery is supreme. You've got to have blood flow in an artery to get to the tissues of your body. Otherwise, you know, if you don't deliver blood flow to it, it's not part of you anymore. But now we're beginning to understand the blood flow in the artery, and we're beginning to understand not only how it makes you sicker and finally dead as it gets thicker, but rather how we can make both lifestyle changes and use specific nutritional supplements, even medications, to reverse sticky blood changes and dramatically improve your survival by reducing these critical risk factors. And once again, as always, our message is hope that help is really available now. Now, I did not realize this in 1971 when I wrote my very first book, A Coagulation Studies Training Manual, that we would ever get to the point where we really had a dynamic understanding what was really happening in the flow inside and what we could do about it. But we really do have things to do about it. Let's share with you something practical right now. Today's program of Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge has not been brought to you by the number 7 and not by the letter M, but instead by the treatment plan, the 7-step plan to artery health that we're drawing out of the Blood Thinner Cure, Dr. Kenneth Kinsey's little book called The Blood Thinner Cure, How We Get Away from Thicker Blood. The 7-step plan. Number 1, give your blood away, as he was saying, blood donation. Step 2, an aspirin a day, a daily low-dose aspirin, not the heavy-duty one. That means like a baby aspirin. Step 3, try to stop smoking. When he says try, I don't say try, I say stop. And step 4, 10 to 12 glasses of water daily. Now, obviously, some people will have to limit that intake if they have other conditions, but that's a good basic guideline. Step 5, you are what you eat, and it's common sense. If you pour junk into your blood, it gets thicker, and it makes it harder for your heart to pump. Step 6, stay active, because exercise and activity are vital to your physical and emotional health, and that strengthens your heart and does help you pump your blood. And step 7, de-stress your life. No matter how you define stress, as a type of situation that triggers symptoms and as the changes that result in your body or as the symptoms that you feel, experts agree that stress has been essential for survival, but too much is not good enough. Order your copy today of The Blood Thinner Cure from www.realogics.com and also find out how your doctor can get Dr. Kinsey and Dr. Cho's upcoming book, The Origin of Atherosclerosis, How It Really Happens. Check this site often to find when the sticky blood testing becomes available in your area. And remember, www.realogics.com. Eric from Houston wrote to ask me to help shed some light on early blindness. So, you know, this next time we'll talk to you on how to see again when you've given up hope. Get a head start from my book on tape, Living Well Past 50. But we'll also have an extra special expert to give you the latest information on what really can be done. Today's show is dedicated to all those who know that there must be something more for them to look into beyond just more drugs and more surgery, and those who take the time then to start looking now for other choices for better health. Our production engineer today is Mark Fisher, our production assistant, Catherine Hill. Thanks for joining me today. Have you learned practical pointers to help you regain and maintain better health? You better say yes. Maybe to help you guide your family or friends toward new solutions for their problems. And again, you better say yes. Audio tape and CD copies of this wonderful show are available for your personal reference and to share with family and friends. Simply call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for details. Now, what health problems are bringing you down or limiting your comfort or threatening your future? Share your questions by email, info@healthchoicesnow.com, or by fax, 281-540-4329, or by mail. Just call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for our address, or call to talk with one of our treatment assistants and let us know what special information we might send to you. Receive our free e-newsletter simply by sharing your email address with us, and enjoy the free downloads available on our website, www.healthchoicesnow.com, because if you don't know you have choices now for better health, you don't have any. Feel free to come by to see what's so special and visit with patients who are feeling better right now. They're anxious to share their successes with you in person. We're next to the Northeast Medical Center Hospital near Bush Intercontinental Airport. Call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for directions or a map. We'd love to show you where better health happens. Remember, if your money, your time, your effort, your comfort, or even your life is at stake, get the very best answers and the very best treatment you can find. Rely on experts who can make sense out of your problems and who have the experience to produce results for you. When life is your choice, failure is not an option. Our message is one of hope for a healthier future, and we aim to produce these results for you. Invite your family and friends to join me next week, Friday afternoon from 1 till 2, on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever, exclusively on Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge. Have a great day and a wonderful week.